The NFL season is in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online.
Hey, I'll tell you who I'm not betting on this year, and that's my Ravens. I am so disappointed with them, Sal. What is going on with them? And they're playing the 10-0 Steelers this week. They got 19 COVID tests. That's the only thing that's been positive for them this year, so I'm not betting on them.
From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there is always the online casino as well. It never closes, Benny.
So, Sal, head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today.
You're listening to PSI, the podcast, with Benny Philhaber,
Sal Zizzo,
and Arco Para.
Enjoy!
You know, Coke or Pepsi, and you gotta just answer. Coke. Yeah, okay. We haven't started yet, but yeah.
He's doing good.
Quick hitters, here we go. When you watch superhero movies, do you root for Batman or the Joker?
The Joker.
Welcome to BSI, the podcast. We are on our season finale of season two. We thank everybody for sticking with us throughout this crazy COVID season, and we're going to try and make it a good one here, the last one, Sal.
Yeah, thanks again for all of you that donated throughout the coronavirus fund that we had created. We raised 10 grand, and it all went to very important things, and we just want to thank you guys for taking part in that.
Yeah, it's been an awesome season. We've done a lot of good stuff. We've interviewed, I think, 30 plus people this year. A lot of interesting things. We've been able to do some good in the community through all our fans out there that have helped us, like Sal said, with the COVID fund. And, you know, our Patreons, we thank you guys. Obviously, the ones that are our top Patreons, you guys are still do some gear as well. So we will leave something on our Patreon site so you guys know how to collect that stuff. But it's been an awesome ride this season, and we thank all you guys out there listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got one more episode. We're bringing on Felipe Martins. So he's a highly requested person, and arguably, has he been actually voted most hated player in the MLS?
I don't know. I think he wants to have been voted the most hated player in MLS, but we'll ask him. So it's going to be a fun one. So let's get right to it. Welcome, Felipe Martins, to the show. Man, I feel like we've played against each other thousands of times. Good to have you on the show, dude.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here to talk a little bit to the two guys.
So quick question. Quick question. Did Extra Time message you to be on their show after we announced you, or were you already planning on being on their show?
I got to check because I think it was before.
Was it?
You guys was before. You guys
we were before. Yeah.
No, but had we announced it already? That's the question.
That's the question. Yeah.
I know. We need to check the time. Okay.
We'll check. We'll check by the end of the show.
We got to timestamp them, so we'll check.
Yeah.
I'll send Andrew Wiebe a text. Look, I'm happy to have Felipe on because I feel like I'm one of the few guys that he's never played with, but he actually likes. In MLS. So there's not many players that I don't think Felipe likes, and I think I'm one of them. So I'll take that into consideration when we're doing the pleads today.
The question should be different, you know. It's like no one likes me. So you know, it's
well, look, there's a little bit of that for me as well. So we got an even playing field there. But I will say that there have been a few guys that have you know, been on the wrong side of Felipe Martins during my time in MLS. So
yes, many.
We'll get into that though. But we ready? I mean, Felipe, you know a little bit of how the show works. We'll do some quick hitters, ask you some questions to get you warmed up. We'll go through your career. And at the end, me and Sal will do our best Ike Opara imitation and give you some hard questions that you can plead the fifth to once.
So, never.
Are you never ready?
The fifth. I'm ready.
We got
it. I love it. He's already saying he's never going to plead the fifth. In my head, I already got to come up with some harder questions. So
don't worry. Go ahead. I'm ready.
All right. Quick hitters. Here we go. When you watch superhero movies,
Do you root for Batman or the Joker?
The Joker.
Oh my God. I was going to give him a T-ball one at first. I was going to give him Wile E. Coyote or the Roadrunner. Cause I feel like, I mean, I would rather Wile E. Coyote just get him one time, but
no,
you'd rather
the Roadrunner. I'm always the opposite. I like to be on the wrong side.
Felipe is like the guy that if 20 guys in the locker room were saying one thing and two were saying the other, he'd be on the team with two.
Yes, you always got to be on the weak side.
He's the anti, dude.
Yeah, he's the anti.
All right. Well, just that's a good answer into like a little peek into your mind right there. So I'm glad it didn't even take him a second to answer that question. So
that's easy.
Let's move on to number two. All right. This one's I've always wondered about this because I think I have a little bit of this, but it kind of comes naturally to me where, you know, when you play a soccer game, when I'm getting ready for the game, I'm always thinking about, okay, what are the things I can do well against this team? Who are the guys that I'm playing against? Where can I take advantage? Where are they good? And I have to make sure that I don't allow them to do something. And then as you get into the game, emotionally, you get built into it. And then there's that aspect as well. And that's part of my game. But my question to you is, what percentage of your efforts in a soccer game is to get under your opponent's skin?
9%.
How much?
9% probably.
9%? Or 90.
90. Oh, 90. I think I always think, you know, like, especially playing against you, I know you can get very emotional.
Yeah.
So when we played against each other, we always had good battles and then that could affect your game also, you know, because then you start to talk a lot. You start to be yourself. That everyone knows that, you know, you be emotional, you start to tackle. And most of the time you start to be frustrated as well because you want to be on the ball. So you got to know who you're playing against and how to play to their, you know, to their worst side.
Yeah, of course.
That's what I try to do.
I'll say this though, Felipe, I think you're judging me wrong because I'm the kind of person you get me pissed off. I start playing better, I think.
That's why he didn't talk to you, Benny.
Yeah, that's true. He was always nice to me.
He's always nice because he knew if it pissed you off, you'd play.
There are a lot of players that they get frustrated and they lose their way a little bit in the game for sure. 100%. I've seen that with you doing that to them. Yeah. I mean, Sal, we played with Dom. Dom was a guy like that. He would try to get on the nerves of the defender. He would play mind games and he'd probably win more often than not. And so there's plenty of guys that are like that. But yeah, I think for me, typically, not always, but typically if you start getting me emotionally invested,
yeah, you get pumped up.
I tend to play better, I think. So
yes, I know the guys, you know, like I can do it and guys I don't. And you were one of the guys that, you know, we bought on the field, but I was never like dirty with you.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Dirty.
I agree. No, I agree. we had some good battles, but I agree. There was never that animosity that I've seen with you and some other midfielders. So.
Yes.
Thank you for that, by the way.
That's a plus.
All right. Here's a question. Not as much about soccer, but you've lived all over the world. You've played. I mean, you grew up in Brazil. You've been in Italy. You've been all over in the U.S. and Canada. What city in the world would you like to live in after you retire?
I need to be honest. You know, I lived in Italy, Switzerland. Lugano is a great place. Lived in Montreal, Vancouver. But on the perfect scenario, I would love to live in Florida. And, you know, I'd love to be a coach as well. And I think, you know, for my family, that's the best place to be.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, if you talk about the map and where I live, where my family and my wife's family live, it's the perfect location as well to be in.
And your wife is from Italy?
Italy, yeah.
From Palo. And her family lives over there?
Yeah, the whole family lives there.
There's quite a few Brazilians in Orlando.
Orlando's filled with Brazilians.
I remember, Benny, yeah. I remember actually going with Kansas City to Orlando for preseason. And we were walking around together and you were just like, what the hell is going on? And you really feel like you're in Brazil, right?
I remember if this is the time that we went together, I remember going into a Best Buy.
Yeah.
And they approached you in Portuguese.
Brazilian.
It was crazy. I was like, how? Like, they guessed I was Brazilian? I don't understand. The majority of people that walk in here are Brazilian. So that's, you, you, you talk to someone in
they Portugal, greeted you at the front door. I remember.
It can be Florida. Anywhere in Florida for me would be good. You know, yeah. So I think it doesn't mean necessary to be Orlando. I just started up because obviously it's the first city
that,
you know, it's not Miami.
Yeah.
I'd love to be.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it's an easy flight down to South America and a pretty easy flight over to Europe as well.
So. Yeah, it's a direct flight everywhere. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. Last question to the quick hitters. This is obviously a little bit of a play on words, but your favorite team to play against or player or team to play against. And by that, I mean, you know, someone that you like to compete against. So someone you like to hate, I guess.
Just y'all today. Why are you guys laughing? You guys asked me to be honest.
I know that you guys in New York and Toronto had some battles. Why I know Sasha and Josie got into it a little bit in one of the years. So tell us a little bit why.
I think, you know, like everyone is kind of scared of how big he is and the player he is, but I respect him as a player. I don't respect his attitudes on the field. I think he always tried to get advantage for who he is on or who he was for the national team. And, you know, Sal know me well. I don't take those things, you know, like I take it's personal, and I think everyone needs to be respect everyone in on the field, not because you play the national team or you're a big player. I have to respect you. And, you know, I think he always expect that. And I'm a kind of player that, you know, if you want that, you are going to give what you want and then you're going to battle.
Cool. We tried to get Josie on. It would have been good now to bring him on later, and we can have him that same conversation. We could even bring him on right now. We'd have you two face to face.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, those are the quick hitters. Let's get into the main interview. Sal, go ahead with that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. By the way, how's the ACL recovery doing before we get into all that?
That's good to hear.
Oh, you know a little bit how I am.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've been working like 10, 11 hours a day. I see my wife just in the bed after I go to bed. My house, if you go upstairs, the playroom became a gym. I have a full gym in my house. And it's good. I'm 12 weeks, but I start to run. I have, I've been shooting balls. I've been working on technical stuff, and you know, it's I'm running already almost 75% on the Ultra G. I feel like I could run outside, but guys are saying that I'm already ahead of schedule. So to take
relax.
Easy. But,
yeah.
Well, I'm
unfortunately,
good.
Unfortunately, you can't beat Shannon McMillan's. What did she come back in? 3.5
She
months?
Came back in like, it was ACL and she came back ACL, in like three months.
Yeah.
Something is absurd. Yeah. It doesn't even make sense.
I'm not that crazy. I know. I know that there's, you know, also certain things that I need to wait for, but everything I possibly can.
You'll be ready. I think you'll be ready next season. I think you'll be ready because it took me 6 months. I did one and I played a game exactly to the date and it was 6 months.
6 months to the date.
But to be honest, now doctors and trainers are more cautious with it. So you kind of have to push them a little bit, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. They're also probably better prepared, right? They got better rehab things. I mean, it just keeps evolving.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, my muscle is back already. Everything it's good. It's looking good. It's just now ready to go.
All right. Good, dude. Glad to hear.
Glad to hear. For someone who's had two, it's not easy, but I know you'll be fine.
It's not easy.
Hey, so early in your career, I'm talking like Felipe Martins at 10, 11, 12 years old. You know, at that age, did you already kind of know, like, all right, I'm going to devote my life to soccer and to be a professional soccer player? I think I spoke with you briefly when we were teammates and you talked that you went away at a very young age. Was it in Brazil? You left your home in Brazil and went to another place in Brazil or?
Yes. Benny knows how big it is, Brazil, and how difficult it is, you know, like, especially we talking like, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, how expensive it is to move with airplane in Brazil as well. So I started in Londrina is actually like 3 hours drive from where I am. I was 10 years old And then I moved to Santa Catarina, where it's like 18 hours bus. I used to take the bus 18 hours. And yes, I moved very young. At 10 years old, I was there. I would go like 3-4 times a year to my house to see my parents. And they would never come because they have to work. Yeah, it's difficult. But I think that what built who I am right now and the kind of person I am, it's not been easy, you know, because those, especially at that age, you kind of miss so many things of your young age. Yeah. That, you know, right now I feel the difference, you know, certain things, especially in relationships and certain things that you build to protect yourself. Yes, I think without that, I wouldn't be here. So when I left my house at 10 years old, I told my mom, I come back as a soccer player or I don't come back. So that was my goal. And then at 15 years old, I moved to Italy, but I play also in Rio de Janeiro for 19 months, which is, I lived in a very bad place in Rio. So at the young age, you develop
some thick skin at that age, huh? I couldn't even imagine. I felt that at 20 years old when I went to Germany. So I couldn't imagine being 11 years old, riding a bus 18 hours.
In a very bad part of Rio, and we were robbers coming with guns inside the facility where we was. And I was point gun at that young age. And one of the guys tried to press, and somehow the pistol didn't come out. So I think, I don't know. I said that, I believe a lot in that was God, or some gonna say lucky, or some gonna even say that's not true, but I know all the things that I've been through. And that was one of the episodes that, you know, kind of built yourself. So when I look at my son right now, I would never let that happen. You know, because you have those things that broke you, that
they mold you into who you are kind of today.
Exactly. Right? So that's, you know, you have inside, and at certain points that protects you from other people, and sometimes make it even not good things because you don't allow certain things to get inside you.
Yeah.
I was just going to add, I mean, obviously I'm from Brazil and I didn't live there very long. I moved when I was 6, but I've heard countless stories with family members. I mean, that kind of stuff, it happens all the time. It's so sad. You know, I mean, I don't know about a gun, you know, not clicking or whatever, but being held up at gunpoint, it's a sad truth about, you know, our country. There's bad things that happen there all the time. And you said, you know, the fact that, you know, that part of you built the person that you are. It's funny to think of you as the soccer player that you are. And you almost you've always had the mentality, whether you love you or you hate you, you know, as an outsider.
Yeah.
You can either hate Felipe Martins or love Felipe Martins. But the one thing that is fascinating to me is that story is built to what kind of player you are on the field. You don't care who anybody is, what anything that they've done, it's not going to stop you from getting and achieving the goals that you set out for yourself. So it makes sense thinking about, you know, where you came from.
Yeah, that's one of the stories, you know, like when you're at young stage and you can talk with Brazilian players that, you know, lived in those type of place environments, that when you are young, you know, the first thing they do is like they do the corridor, and there's like probably 30 players, and you gotta pass through all of them, and they kick you as hard as they can, you bleeding after, and you know, like they want to make you tough, and like from that age. So there's certain things that you go through that it's very difficult. But as I said, and you mentioned like it right, those type of things built who I am, and definitely shows on the field, because a lot of times I think, you know, Sal well played with me. I'm misunderstood because I'm one type of player.
That's funny you mentioned that. I literally have in my notes that I'm going to talk to you is like, you're one of the most misunderstood players, in my opinion, in the MLS. And that's coming from a teammate. Talk about, keep going on about that. But that's funny you mentioned it.
Yeah, because, you know, like, there's, I created, and since at such a young age, this type of mentality that I have, that being alone so many days and so many hours in, you know, in another country without saying any Italian word in the beginning, you get to try different things. And I, you know, I had that person inside me that would always motivate myself. And that's when I became, since a young age, that type of players, because I need to be angry. I need to be hated. I need to be, you know, like pucked on the field. I need to guys to kick me. And more you do, more I become, you know, the player I want on the field. And, you know, so that's why sometimes you judge for what you see on the field, but outside of the field, I think I'm a completely different person, you know, and sometimes the thing on the field cares outside and then change my relationship, because everyone think that I'm outside of the field, I'm the same person that an asshole that I'm on the field, you know? So I think
it seems like that's kind of always been the balance for you, right? Is to try to figure that out without everyone hating you off the field.
Yes. And unfortunately, like, I figured out later than sooner, you know, this part. And I think if I had figured out that before, especially here in America, you know, like, you guys in general, I think you're not used to guys that is this way. And in Brazil is much, you know, more common to have guys like that. And, sure, you know, unfortunately, many of my relationship I lost around this league, I think, was because of that. You know, you can't figure out quick enough, you know, how to, yeah, to fit yourself inside, you know, a guy that is very, maybe went to school together, that played many times together. That was the difficult part for me, I think, coming to America.
If you're a follower of BSI the podcast and you're a follower of States Soccer Brand, they've been one of our biggest sponsors to date, and we love them to death. This holiday season, they're going to have a pop-up store for all you KC locals at the Plaza this Friday, running all the way through the holiday season.
Yeah, and you guys know I love my States gear. It's honestly the most comfortable clothing. If I could wear it every day, I would.
You're wearing it right now, Sal.
I am wearing it right now.
You don't even have to sell it. You just have to show it. So I love that. And look, support small businesses. I mean, they're one of the best. And during this, you know, pandemic time, it's one of the moments that we need to do that. And so make sure you show your love in KC and go check them out. Support small business out in the Plaza. And for exact directions on how to get there, check out State's Instagram for the specific location on 47th Street.
The Plaza lights always make for a great holiday shopping experience, so check them out. Well, going on, so you go from Brazil, you go to Italy. How did that opportunity come about?
Yeah, so I was playing in a club in Rio that sent a lot of Brazilian players to Italy. They made my Italian passport because I had, you know, like, from, I don't know, my grandpa,
yeah,
was, or big grandpa was Italian, and they did my passport. I went to Italy. They brought me for, I think, 100,000 euros at that time at 15. I went to Padua, which was third division where Alex Lalas played. And then after 6 months, I went to the first team. At 16, I played my first professional game. And then I played 5 more games, starting on the first in the third division. We won that third division, and after that, I went to Bournemouth in England. I was there training for a little bit. The same, I think the name was Ro. The coach that was there until last year, and yeah,
Eddie Howe, right?
Exactly, this guy. And if you see an interview, he wanted to sign me, and then unfortunately I said no. I didn't speak English. I was, you know, 18 years old, and Bournemouth was very dark that in the winter time, you know. So I said no. I'm gonna go to Switzerland. I went to Switzerland. I stayed in Switzerland 3 years, and then the funny story is that Jesse went to Switzerland to see a guy in Basel. And I think you know this story, right, Sal?
Yeah, you told me.
Yes, in Basel. And the training was canceled. He came to see Alex, the lefty who played for Chicago and Houston. And he saw me. He saw me, and after training, they said, oh, there's this assistant coach, ex-assistant coach for the national team. Go say hello. And I don't know, for somehow I was mad on the game, on the training, and I passed straight. I didn't say hello. And I was the only one who didn't say hello to him. And
which he probably loves.
He loved it. He said, oh, I like that guy. And then
he's got a good attitude.
Yes. And then 3 days after he canceled, he didn't went to see Basel. He came to see me. And then he wanted me right away in Montreal. He brought me to Montreal. And from there, we were together in New York with Saul. And yeah, I'm lucky enough to stay in contact with him. And I consider him like a very close friend.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like Jesse was one of your biggest fans. And I feel like he always could see himself in you a little bit. Because, you know, I think at times throughout his MLS career, he kind of felt like he was a little bit misunderstood by the type of player he was on the field. But as most people know, Jesse off the field is an amazing guy, and he'll help you and do everything for you. So he's just the ultimate competitor, which, you know, I can say that same about you. So let's talk about, so you went to Switzerland for a little bit, did pretty well there. So did Jesse came to look at a left back, ended up seeing you, liked you. Was MLS, you know, US, Canada, was that something you always wanted to do, or did that just like spring up in that moment?
Did you know anything about MLS?
No. At the time they said, look, there's this team in Canada. I said, where? Canada? You know, I said, but it's in Canada or in US? They said, yeah, it's in Canada, but playing US. And I said, okay, doesn't matter. I go. Let's go. That's literally the way it was. You know, I said, okay,
I'm done. You saw the contract and you said, let's go? Or was it more?
No, actually, the contract, I was making the same money. And actually, okay, was a problem, because when I got to Montreal, you know, it wasn't exactly what I thought, because I didn't imagine the tax. And also, I said, whoa. You know, so
a lot of foreigners actually have that.
Yeah. What's the tax like in Montreal? Is it worse than in, like,
you don't want to know? It's like,
it's 50, like, yeah,
50%.
but I know a few, like one of these players in Venezuela, you know, this young kid, when I was in Atlanta, like I remember he was all bummed out one day, and a lot of us were like, what's wrong, man? And he's like, oh, I didn't know, like, 30% of my money was just like gone. You know, he thought he signed, you know, what he signed.
He thought he signed a net
yeah,
contract.
Basically, was what he was getting, because that's kind of what they're used to. It's sad that kind of nobody explains that, but maybe some agents just kind of assume that you'd know. But
I don't know if they assume. They assume that you don't know and don't tell.
And just sign you. Yeah. Just sign.
What was sure. funny is that I went to Brazil, and then Montreal wanted me to go there for a week, like before Christmas. And I said, I was in Brazil, you know, hot and everything. So I put
summertime in Brazil, right?
I put like, you know, just like this. I literally went like this. When I got there, it was like minus 10 degrees. Wow, this is unbelievable. And then was snow everywhere. And yeah, I just had to get used to it. And in the beginning, it was fun because I didn't speak any English. Any French, and I would just say hey, yes, you know, like yes, yeah. Okay.
Now
where, in Switzerland, where you played, they spoke German then, not French.
Yes, because I played next to Zurich for 9 months, and I literally learned just a little bit of German, you know, just how to communicate. But Italian I already spoke, so when I played in Lugano, was easy, you know, because it was you basically in Italy. So,
and then when you went to Montreal, you were basically in Italy again. So,
yes, that was right.
French
that
Italy.
Was right, exactly, because I was lucky enough to have a lot of Italians. So it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. So you spent, what was it, 2 years in Montreal?
3 years. Three years?
Okay. But Jesse was only there for just the first year,
first
right?
Year. Yeah. First year.
Okay. Yeah. And then he got let go. He spent a year or maybe 2 years without a job, right?
Yeah, he was traveling around the world.
Yeah, he went. I think he was assistant at Princeton for a little bit, his alma mater. He gets the Red Bull job, right? probably actually he got it maybe a week after I had already signed. So he kind of was stuck with me, but,
lucky him.
First trade. Yeah, I know. Lucky him, right? Got a player like me. Good locker room guy.
You just need a haircut and
yeah.
Sal, even I got a haircut for our finale, dude.
I know, man. Sorry. My hair is out of control right now. All right. So, where was I? So yeah.
New York Red Bulls.
So it was you and Sasha were a little double trade, right? They got the number one allocation spot so they could get Sasha. You went there. Eric Alexander, some other stuff. Yeah,
and Oyongo didn't show up.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. So that was a pretty good trade for Red Bull at the time. But he ended up showing up, right, to Montreal?
Yes.
Oh, he ended up showing up. So what were your first thoughts, you know, coming to New York? You know, I have my 3 years that I was there. You were there, I think you were there four, right? Or three and a half, maybe. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I've said this on my podcast many times that it was my most, you know, memorable 3 years and, as a professional, but just talk a little bit about your time there and kind of, you know, how you developed and what you thought.
When I got the news, you know, I obviously had a little baby. My wife, I literally said, I'm going to drive to New York tonight. You know, like I was like, can I be there like yesterday? You know, so then I was so happy. I was very happy because I knew that I would be with a coach that, you know, liked me, that, you know, understand me and don't going to get the best of me. And, you know, that's the way it went. You know, I think we had a great time in there. Jesse is a guy who always push yourself to the limit, always gets the best. And, you know, we had great memories. We had great results. We had a good group of players, you know, together. And, you know, obviously,
no MLS Cup. That's like the biggest.
Not MLS Cup, but, we got the sponsorship. We got to the final that were you there on KC when you won the US Open Cup?
Yeah. He's the one that played the ball where I just.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, guys. I've had a pretty good run against the New York Red Bulls. I don't think I've lost very often to you guys.
I don't even know if when I was with Red Bull, if we ever beat you guys. I think we lost you at home. I know we
lost one time at Red Bulls, but it might have been you guys. I think Henri maybe
in the playoffs with you guys. That was it.
My first goal I scored in MLS was in KC.
Really?
Yeah, with Montreal.
Yeah. But you probably didn't win, right?
We lost 2-1.
Dom probably scored two goals because Dom would score like 13 goals a year on Montreal.
Yes.
No, I don't think Dom, because when he came in, Dom hadn't blown up yet. So it might have been.
No, I think
Dom's year of blowing up was 14.
13,
he blew up in USL and then helped us win MLS Cup in the playoffs. And then he blew up in MLS in 14.
But Felipe scored the goal in 13. So
yeah,
I'm thinking it might have been.
That might have been pre Dom blowing up.
Might have been Benny.
12. I scored my first goal in 12. Yeah.
Oh, in 12. That's even before I was there. So
CJ maybe.
Yeah, you were still in New England.
Yeah. Don't remind me. It was some tough years, 11 and 12. We didn't do too well. Neither did I. So
I don't think you remember anything. I remember talking to you after the game in Portland, Benny, and you're like, I don't even remember that conversation.
Hey, don't knock New England, dude. They just knocked the supporter shield out of the playoffs resoundingly. Man. They look pretty good, man. I mean, yeah. I mean, the East is wide open, so it's crazy.
Yeah. And so the cases today, you know, I don't know even if that game going to happen. Nashville, Columbus.
Really? I didn't even see. There's more.
4 positive cases in Columbus. Oh,
even if DC was in the playoffs, they might even have a chance this year, Felipe.
Hey, respect.
You guys just had to get in the playoffs and then you would have had a chance.
Hey, when I got hurt, I literally asked the Brazilian guys, does anyone ever played without ACL? Because I actually could run. I just couldn't change too much direction.
Yeah.
I think that's the point of the ACL though.
That's kind of what you need in soccer though, is to be able to change direction.
Yeah. If you just run straight, like Sal would just run straight.
Yeah. It's old Sal.
And fast as well.
Yeah.
We'll get you Shannon McMillan's number and you can ask her if you need an ACL to play soccer. So
I think if you're strength, you can still play without.
I've heard things. I've heard I've heard weird stories of people saying that, but not at like a top level. But I've heard people say they've played without ACLs. But
I think it's can too.
All right, let's get in. Actually, now that's a good time to pause. Let's talk about Sal in 60 seconds.
Oh, yes. I love it. Dude, I mean, I feel like we need to give him an extra 5 seconds just for the language barrier. The language barrier,
maybe. Can we go 3 seconds then?
We'll see. I don't want to mess up. He might get pissed at me. So
give him the lowdown. I'll get the alarm clock here ready to go.
So, Felipe, I'm going to ask you this or that question. So it's going to be, you know, Coke or Pepsi, and you got to just answer. Coke. Yeah, okay. We haven't started yet, but yeah.
He's doing good. We'll give him one right off the bat. I got the timer set.
All right.
So as soon as Sal finishes the first question, I'll start the timer.
Okay.
You have 1 minute.
Some of these you might stumble a little bit, but knowing you, maybe you'll just breeze through it. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Ready?
If I don't understand, I'm going to say something.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, what's the number to beat? 26, right?
26, yeah.
26
seconds?
26 answers
in 1 minute.
Okay. So good luck.
And I got like 32 written on here, so let's go. plenty of space. All right, ready. Basketball or baseball?
Basketball.
Montreal or New York?
New York.
Switzerland or Italy?
Italy.
Dax or Sasha?
Dax.
Voice message or text?
Text.
Canada or USA?
USA.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Cardio or weights?
Cardio.
Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter.
Video games or take a nap?
Take a nap.
Work hard or play hard?
Both.
Hamburger or taco?
Hamburger.
Tablet or computer?
Tablet.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Save or spend?
Save.
Perfect pass or perfect tackle?
Perfect tackle.
Ocean or mountains?
Ocean.
BSI the podcast or instant replay?
BSI.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Beer or wine?
Beer.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Singing or dancing?
Singing.
Flowers or trees?
Flower.
Fire or ice?
Fire.
Fruit or vegetable?
Fruit.
Pandas or whales?
Pandas.
Time's up. This guy is on fire, dude.
Let's see. Let me count. Dude,
I think he must have beat it this time. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. He's
got it.
You got it. By the skin of his teeth. Dude, a few times I thought he was just saying any words, but then he would actually answer one that like 100% he thought about. Yeah. Like the both. What was the both one?
Both is like
hard or play hard. Work hard or play hard, he said.
Yeah, work hard or play hard. Yeah, he said both. So I'm like, all right, he's actually thinking about it.
he's not just saying the first thing.
No.
Yeah, at one point I was like, he's... Well done, Felipe.
I told you guys, I did it.
Well done.
We'll have Nino confirm that he got 27, though.
Sal. Actually, well, Saul was slowing to ask me.
I was slow. I knew that.
You know, I think...
Sal has... He has a deficiency in that area.
Yeah.
On the question, Dex or Sasha, he kind of looked at me, you know, like he wanted me
to see your reaction. I want to see it.
That's the end of part one with Felipe Martins. Tomorrow, continuation for part two.